Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And it's a time where we get together and take a look at the pages of what's going on. And we've got Cynthia Hauswinter in the middle studio. Cynthia, good morning.
Hello.
And
no Ann.
Your phone
today.
Is ringing.
No Ann today. I just want to say, though, that I'm like a size 6, and I buy most of my pants in the men's department because women's clothes are cut too generously in the hips and the butt for me. And the legs are too short.
There you go.
That has often been... That's an old jeans thing from many, many years ago, and I have a similar problem, though I'm not a size 6.
Right. But you know, Label Shopper Plus in Amenia, great place for clothes of all size, and H&M.
All right, now we've got Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how are you this morning?
Good.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of green on the front page of the Lakeville Journal.
Aye, we do, because you know what? It's a lot of green outside from all the rain. Super, super beautiful. In fact, Janet, I'm going out to take pictures of the waterfall after I leave here.
Excellent.
So if you don't see me by the noon, that means
just
I've
be
slept.
Be careful.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't look for me.
So we start off, we'll go right up on the top of the home page, and that is more details on the Hotchkiss trespasser.
You know, as a newspaper, we don't generally do an intensive amount of crime coverage. This is not what our mission is. But there was this interesting, the state police actually sent us a news release about a guy they found sort of roaming around the Hotchkiss School campus shortly after all these stories had broken in the national press about sex abuse cases back in the 70s up to early 2000. And it was an interesting story, and, you know, we didn't want to get anything wrong, and we generally find that, you know, the schools are fairly discreet about these things. But we, our printer prints the Hotchkiss School Record, which is their very excellent newspaper, and they had dropped it off to us to send over to Hotchkiss, and we read an article by Zoe Bank, who is the editor-in-chief for this year's paper, and she had done a very good job of researching on campus some of the details and stuff that we had heard anecdotally on the street but that we didn't feel confident putting into an article. So we were lucky enough to be able to pick up her very good article, and you can find out about this guy that was, you know, it's when you think about it, and Hotchkiss, I would say, is more generous than any other school in the area that I'm aware of in terms of letting strangers on the campus to use the library, to use the athletic facilities in the fields. And so you have a lot of strangers pouring in and out of there. And, you know, the kids are fairly casual about leaving their stuff around and about wandering around the campus. So it'll be sad to see if that changes.
All right. Great picture once again in North Canaan. They call it Patriots Day, observing the day of September 11th.
Yes, and I'm really happy to see how many people really took some time on September 11th to stop and remember. And Patrick went over to the very moving ceremony that they always have in North Canaan, where they blow off the cannon at the moment of all the major strikes and the major events of that horrible
day. That day starts at midnight and ends at midnight.
Yeah.
They read all the names of all the victims and all the people that died. Really is an outstanding ceremony that they put on.
And, of course, the list of names increases as more and more people are passing away.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, over on the left-hand side, grading that is better for students and teachers.
The controversial grading policy at the Region 1 schools continues, and Thomas Guskey from Kentucky came up, and Marshall had asked what the fee was, and you will find if you read the article that Patrick did find out what his fee is, but it did not include the cost of his airfare from Kentucky and
his stay.
His stay here. But you can sort of guess that. But Patrick, I would say, was impressed at his presentation and felt that he explained it well. So if you want to know grading system, as the conversation continues, do read his article.
I think a lot of people were impressed that what they weren't impressed with, that they couldn't, the question and answer period was very short. Parents wanted more, but they were impressed with the presentation itself.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hey, I'm impressed with Freund's Farm Market and Freund's Farm always have been.
Yeah, it's very excellent. And the Freund family, really a very interesting family, and encouraging to see that the younger generations of the family have devoted themselves to studying agriculture and technology and marketing and are coming back and bringing those skills to the family farm. So Matthew Freund and his son Isaac, who is a Hoosie graduate, gave a really nice tour as part of the annual meeting of the Northwest Conservation District. There are conservation districts all over the state of Connecticut, and they help to do things like ensure that the soil is safe and help you do with testing and stuff for your pH. But also they have the excellent annual Earth Day plant sale, which is a very, very good plant sale. So the Freund's very technologically advanced. They have automatic milkers. We got to watch it. It's extraordinary, the cows, because, you know, any of us who has ever had a baby, you know that, you know, know, you when it gets very uncomfortable when you have milk, and so the cows, instead of waiting for the daily milking period, which can be upsetting to them, when they're ready to be milked, they just walk onto the platform, and a series of brushes clean them off, releases the milk, and they've all got essentially cow Fitbits on them so that they can monitor if any of them are having any health issues. It's quite amazing to watch.
All right. Now, most candidates hold babies and kiss babies.
It's a baby chicken.
You know, I'm going to say something here. There's very rarely that there's a shoe-in for an election, but I'll tell you what, this woman is very impressive.
Yes.
And she, for being a political neophyte, she is just like butter on bread. She works the role perfectly.
Yeah, I've only heard great things about her. And if you are a Johanna Hayes promoter out there, nobody called the Lakeville Journal and told us that she was going to be here twice at GEAR and at the Cornwall Ag Fair, but we happened to have our excellent reporter Leela Hawken there, got this beautiful photo of the very beautiful Johanna Hayes, and we will be reaching out to her as we do our candidate profiles in October in advance of the November 6th election. But everybody I've talked to who's run across her has been very impressed with her.
All right. The covered bridge, the work is going on, and I predict they'll finish it before the predicted time.
Cornwall is a magical place, and whenever they do work in Cornwall, it seems to finish ahead of time and under budget. So this, of course, is at the bridge that connects Sharon to Cornwall. But as you say, an incentive. As we approach winter, there's always an incentive to get done faster. And of course, the bridge is under construction during the scenic leaf peeping season, but kind of it's always scenic. There's no season when that bridge is not gorgeous.
All right, and Patrick Sullivan was at the Salisbury Board of Selectmen meeting where, in the public comment section, charges were raised publicly against a former town employee.
Yeah, this is rough, and of course, Marshall Miles was the driving force behind this. Or, you know, we had received letters from a guy named Robert Wallingford who is living in California and really was seeking justice against Art Wilkinson, who was the rec director for Sharon for many years, for charges that he had been molested. And you know, these things are always complex, and but Marshall had
right.
been there with the camera, and several people spoke on camera and publicly said, you know, this is what happened to me, and I would like an apology.
It all started 2 weeks ago when I read his letter, and he was a classmate of mine and a friend of mine, and I was just devastated. I was devastated, and that's why I spoke to him about his letter, posted his letter, did the interview with him. It just devastated me that I could be close to somebody and not have any idea that was going on. And sooner or later, this will wind up good for the community.
Yeah.
And there are lots of moving quotes here. Lloyd Wallingford was there, who's Robert's brother, and he spoke about this as well, and so did many others.
And the video was up on the CATV6, Robin Hood Radio TV, website as well. Vietnamese cuisine comes to Winsted.
Yes. You know, I was at the Korean restaurant in Kent last night. There's some very good Asian cuisine. There's also an excellent Thai restaurant in Torrington.
Yeah.
So apparently this place in Winsted is very good, very popular already. And it's called Mama Pho. And that's a famous Vietnamese soup called pho. And they've got a lot of variations on that. The restaurant looks sparkly clean. And he's a creative chef. He owned a restaurant in Vietnam. And he and his family are here now. And he's invented a new dish called the Forrito, which is like a burrito, but it's Asian.
All right. In Cornwall, it seems to me this happened before.
Cell
phone reception under study when they were looking to site a cell tower in Cornwall. And
this is a very grassroots thing, yeah. Which is Priscilla Pavel, who's on the board of Selectmen, went out driving with Asher Pavel, who's a former Lakeville Journal reporter, and the two of them went all journalist on it, and they just drove all around Cornwall, and they mapped out the cell signal, which is really above and beyond amazing. And so they're going to take that information and really start to think about, you know, where can we get some better signal? I mean, I remember not so long ago in our lifetime here, people saying, we don't want these cell towers, we don't want these cell towers. But really, it's very hard to function without the cell signal these days.
It's going to be harder and harder in the future.
Yeah.
All right. Marvelwood School, they had the big open house where you could take a look at what all the renovations they did.
This is a huge big deal. It's a lot of change. So, the campus up there, my daughter went to Marvelwood. The campus up there is, you know, it's cute, but it's a little with a little worn around the edges. So they did a massive renovation of all of the dormitories over the summer, in like 3 months, finished all of the work, redid the common rooms, redid the science rooms. You know, they have an extraordinary science department there under the guidance of Lori Doss. So they had an open house on September 7th, a couple days before school started, and a great little tour.
All right. You've got the Babysitter's Club Explained at Salisbury Central School.
Ann Martin, whose Babysitter's Club that she started many, many years ago, wrote 35 books in the series, and another author has taken it over, really remained extraordinarily popular. And she came to Salisbury Central School, and she talked about her new book, which is called Rain Rain, about an autistic child, but really a very interesting world-class. I think next they have to have the Pony Club author come in.
All right, and I didn't realize this. I did an interview out. There's a big auction and a dinner coming up for the Housatonic Travel Club.
Yeah.
Used to be about $1,000, $1,200 a student to travel on these trips.
It's got to be more than that.
$3,500 now.
Yeah.
It's the prices have gone through the roof. So they're trying to raise funds, and this is the first of their fundraisers.
I feel like every time I leave town, it's $5,000.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. And then we'll go to Cornwall, celebrating the good old days. That's always a great carnival or weekend or whatever you want
to
call it.
The big Ag Fair. Yeah. And we had Lila Hawken went there, and she said there were more jams and preserves than ever. It was very, very popular. And, of course, we learn all about Coco Chanel, the chicken that Johanna Hayes was holding. The blessing of the animals. There were hay rides. There was everything. The annual cow chip contest, which is always a big deal, made famous by Michael Pollan. And a great photo of the three girls in the frozen T-shirt contest. More power to them.
All right. And in Sharon, the second Sharon Art Walk was a huge success.
It was a huge success, although I have to say I was there, and I felt like it wasn't quite as insanely fun as last year's, which was people pouring around the streets. But it was
great work.
That's because
the clouds and stuff like that.
It was a little chillier. Yeah. But great work, and Allison Palmer has her really amazing ceramic work of animals at the Sharon Historical Society. Susan Rand has beautiful, beautiful work at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon. We have Jeff Joyce, whose work is at Standard Space over here at Theo Columns Gallery. But just a really nice outing. And we also have Deb Alexinas is going to be writing a story for us about Allison Palmer and the Clayway, which is coming up Columbus Day weekend in Kent, Warren Morris, and some other towns.
Well, I want to go to your health, the plum. Nobody talks about the plum.
Oh, I love these plums. They're the best plums. I just ate two in my car on the way up. Stop over at Charlie Paley's, but of course, it's a great year for plums. These plums are particularly dense. I really like them because they don't, you know, they're not bitter on the skin the way that some of them are, or sour, and they don't squirt all over you. They're an exceptional plum. And we talked about coral reefs. I was picking up the Hartford Current, and there was a story about the reefs and how they'd bounced back from a bad bleaching incident a couple years ago. So it became like an exercise in fake news, true news. So I can't really quite tell how reliable this Australian firm is that released the press release. But a lot of people have picked it up. I can't really get a sense that I 100% believe them. But it would be nice if I could.
All right. A couple of things that are coming up. You've got the Classic Car Show in Norfolk this weekend.
Right. And
if
and
you want
the 22nd here in Sharon.
Yep. And also on the 22nd, Salisbury Winter Sports Association has their golf tournament.
That's right. And Pig Roast.
And you've got the Hoosie Sports Week in Review.
Right. We're very happy to have back again after a one-year hiatus Ann McNeil, the athletic director, who is amazing. And we're happy she stayed there for a while after there had been a fair amount of turnover in that position. She's great and has been, you know, we can't get to all the sports. And so she gets the reports from the coaches and sends them to us in a wonderful form.
All right. Onto the editorial page. The editorial, New Era in Lakeville Needs One More Change. Absolutely, Janet.
Yes. I think that everybody who drives through Lakeville or lives there will know what we're talking about. Lakeville has gone through this amazing renaissance, and we've written about it, and we describe all the different ways that that center of town has been changed and upgraded and really is welcoming. But right in the middle of the town is one exception, and that is the abandoned former Chinese restaurant that has just been a thorn in the sides of all those who live and do business in Lakeville there. And we talk about where that situation stands right now and how it may move forward. It will take time, but it seems as if there may be a path for something to happen. And we just plead with all those involved to try to find common ground.
Yeah, if sooner or later, if something doesn't happen there, that building will fall into such disrepair that it'll end up being condemned. It's so something will have to come of this.
Right. I think there are those of us who are astonished it's not there yet. But I quote First Selectman of Salisbury, Curtis Rand, here, and he says, no, it's not really to that point yet. But something has to be done.
It doesn't take long when a building sits abandoned. It just speeds up the process. And you've got lots of great letters, actually, here also in the paper this week.
We do, which we love, and so please, everyone, continue to share your thoughts with us. We have a letter from William Burrs in Norfolk about the situation in Connecticut right now and his ideas for solutions, so give that a read. Dagny St. John was at Hotchkiss from 1973 to 76, and she was one of the two deans of students and was there at the time when young women were brought into the school, and she talks about her experience and welcomes people to contact her.
On the editorial viewpoint page, once again, Peter Steiner hits the nail right on the head. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and a judicial restraint, and then I can't respond to a hypothetical question? The whole process of choosing a Supreme Court judge has gone off the rails in the past 20 years. It really has.
That's for sure.
Yeah, but other great commentary as well from Anthony Peel, Mark Godburn, I love the. I agree. Party bases pick poor candidates. That more and more that happens.
Yes, you know, this is on the state level, and as we know, it can happen on the national level as well. And so Dick goes through the process as it's gone this time in Connecticut, and we've just wound up with two candidates that he assesses here. So give it a read.
All right, I want to move on here. First of all, we'll go to Compass, and we've got a substitute for Ann.
Back to me doing the FedEx version of high speed.
No, we got
no, there's know. Plenty of time. We're
we've got,
well, so minutes. We are loving Emily Gates, who is a local resident. In fact, grew up on Marshall's old family farm. And she does another for excellent reviews of artwork. And this one is my friend Jeff Joyce. Oh, I got the clock up. Thank you. Yeah, we got a lot of time. Wonderful work by Jeff Joyce here at Theo Coulomb's Standard Space, which is having its one-year anniversary. He's had really an extraordinary collection of artists there in his very sort of small, unassuming space, and of course the Region 1 Art Show he generously hosted there. And Jeff's work is very beautiful. It's sublime, actually. It's lush, based on 19th century poetry. He particularly likes Shelley. And Jeff, of course, actually kind of a very fairly modern, boppy, upbeat sort of a guy, but just really does the most peaceful work. Leon Graham, reviewing a film called... The Miseducation of Cameron Post, about conversion therapy. And you read it and you think, like, what was this, the 1950s? And it was set in the 1990s from a novel with Chloe Grace Moretz, and he gives it a very high review. Philippa Feigen Malkin, the wonderfully named, is reviewing a book new out from Knopf that's called Proust's Duchess, and it's about the three women who became a sort of an amalgam for the Duchess of Guermont in the Proust books, and talking about how, you know, that kind of society that seems so... dated and old and weird and excessive, actually, she says, you know, it's not unlike the world that we're living in now. My beloved Sophia Kaufman, a former Lakeville Journal intern who came back for years and continues to do page layout and writing for us and now is, you know, on her own, a very sophisticated reviewer, has written a review of the book 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. And, of course, these young people, the 21st century is their world, and a very thoughtful review of the essays in that book. And an interview by Fred Baumgarten, our former Nature's Notebook, a columnist who is living in Massachusetts but is still writing about classical music for us. Interview with Oscar Espina Ruiz, who is the new creative director of Music Mountain, and about the season's not over there.
I've been speaking with Oscar now for the whole season. He really is so terrific. And in his own way, Nick Gordon was very unique and, of course, in part of Music Mountain since basically its inception from his father.
Since he was born.
Yeah, but Oscar has this unbelievable, unique connection with Music Mountain and the artist that for somebody who just stepped into a role like that after a legend passes, he has done such a great job this year. And the board, everybody's done a great job.
And part of it is because he teaches and he is so engaged in bringing this music to others, and he's so enthusiastic about it that it's impossible not to go, well, you know, maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah, you know, I have to say I'm very bad about going to theater and music, and there's so much incredible options here. And this has been a really, it's a summer I've regretted that I didn't go more, because there's been Music Mountain and there was the Sharon Playhouse, where you also have these two very strong, very beloved new personalities there who I think people generally feel are steering the whole show in the right direction.
It's nice when people come into the area from out of the area and they adapt
and
they
get
all
it.
Of a sudden,
yeah.
They get the people.
Yeah,
and not only, and what's great about that, not only get the people here, but they're in a business where they have to not only get the people here and the atmosphere here, but also still attract the people that come up on the weekenders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And really, in 1 year, to have two places like the Sharon Playhouse and Music Mountain succeed like they have with new people running it. Right. We are so lucky.
So lucky, and I'll say that I have been to Music Mountain and was there actually last Sunday for the last of the Beethoven concerts, and just amazing. And you're right, Oscar is so enthusiastic. Even the way he introduces concerts, he understands the music so completely, and you know it's a part of him because you know he is a musician, and it's just a wonderful atmosphere. So. You know, not many other things are still going. Things are starting to drop away these seasons. Don't miss Music Mountain now if you haven't gone yet, or even if you have.
And it's a good reminder, too, that this area is so beautiful and so attractive, and that you have people who have a world-class set of abilities and knowledge. And I know that everybody's so worried about the fleeing of... you know, the population here, but a reminder that it's pretty
there are
good,
a lot of people still here. It's pretty lively.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that concert at Music Mountain was packed on Sunday.
Plus, look at what Hotchkiss School does when Music Mountain closes. Look at the people that they bring into Hotchkiss School.
For portals, yeah.
That is absolutely free for the public to see. Where if you were to go to New York or Philadelphia or Boston, it's $100, $150 a ticket.
Yeah.
It's free. That's you were talking
free,
about
world class, beautiful.
Yeah, you were talking about Hotchkiss earlier, and it's really amazing when you think how they open up that campus and how they involve the community
and how much people complain about it. They're so generous; it's incredible.
Yeah, and I'll mention too. We even though it seems as if summer is well over,
it's not.
Don't miss the calendar because there are still lots of things going on and lots of opportunities to take in what is so unique in this area. And when I say this area, it's you know. Litchfield County, Dutchess County, Berkshire County. We're in the tri-state area, and there's just so much, you know, that makes it fun to live here.
We take it for granted sometimes.
True. We should not.
But we should not, because there's a reason why all the inns are always full every weekend,
yeah.
Because we have a lot to offer here.
Right.
All right. Well, that is This Week in the Lakeville Journal, tricornernews.com. And by the way, folks, tricornernews.com. Somebody sent me something which I made a mistake and reposted, and I shouldn't have, and I apologize. And that was they took the story, they photographed it and put it up for people to see. When you do that, when you take a photo of a story in a newspaper and put it up to see, people don't buy the newspaper. And you know what? If people don't buy the newspaper,
the newspaper can't pay the staff.
And you won't have a newspaper, and you won't have stories to illegally steal, so don't.
Right, and
but we like that. They like the story.
And what I'll say, I know, Marshall, that I chimed in there, because what I'll say, too, is that if you do wish to post it, at least let people know where it's from and when it was published.
Get permission.
And always put the link up.
We'll put
the link up, because if they get there and it's a pay link and they don't want to pay, that's their own problem. But you know what? You've got to
support it. I'm sorry to chime in here, but
you've got
to support. You've got to pay for it.
Thank you.
We had a reporter at that meeting, and I believe he was the only reporter there. So let's realize that you know this isn't something that's a given.
No. It's the
opposite of a given.
That's exactly.
It's
what
a taken.
It's just not right. You can always credit where it came from. With that being said, keep up the work. Good work, guys.
Thank you, and
thanks,
you too.
And you too.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, if you missed any of it, it's available online in just a few minutes at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.